love us and let us love you. That's the advice I received from a member of our congregation when I became your new pastor, well, over 8 years ago. It's wise advice. As we hear in our reading from John, life in Christ is about love. Love is, or is at least supposed to be, at the heart of everything we do as Christians. But what is love? Tama Keeves offers her thoughts on love in her Valentine's Day message for the world. Love never fails. She writes, "Loving is the way we wake up from the dream of powerlessness. Love is a game changer. The Berlin Wall fell, slaves were freed, someone published the book of their dreams today. Someone else rose up against cancer and booked a trip to Greece. Every single day, there are those who rise up in love. Love in the face of ugliness, defeat, or fiasco. Love is spirit's calling card. There are no weapons or conditions that can withstand the onslaught of consistent love. Love never fails. Love never fails, it's just that we fail to love. Believe me, I'm not saying this is easy. It's easy to fall onto the bandwagon of complaining. It's a loud caravan passing through the streets daily. Ugliness gets media attention. There's fanfare for foulness. Sometimes it's hard to hear anything else, what with the noise of discontentment. Lovers turn their attention to love. It's that simple. But it's not simplistic. It's not the work of simpletons. It's the work of those who are committed to freedom, growth, and cultivating capacities. Love is a practice for those who care about how they feel each day, and what words they allow to roll from their tongues into the waiting pores of those around them. This isn't for the lazy. This isn't for those who want to be right. This isn't for those who want to feel wronged. This is for those who want to be free. This is for those who wish to be merciful to themselves, yet uncompromising with their desires. This is the Valentine's Day I wish for the world. I want us to be lovers who use our power of attention to love. Lovers of others, lovers of ourselves. I want us to do the work. I want us to be the ones who reach like seeds for the sun, because something deep within knows the light is there, even when we're chilled by darkness. I want us to be more than we think we can be. I want us to be what we know we can be. I want us to start now. What does it mean to turn your attention to love? It doesn't mean we turn away from problems. It doesn't mean we turn away from suffering. We must tend to pain, especially our own, because it's almost impossible to love others when we do not love ourselves. We must find a way to rise. And this is what I know about rising. It's about trying again. It's about not giving up. It's about falling down 7 times. And getting up 8, as the Japanese proverb goes. Keep fighting, despite your own resistance and justifications, and the discouraging self-talk that diminishes who you really are. Of course, love doesn't mean we don't stand up against injustice. It means we might. But we don't do anything out of bitterness. Bitterness eats your strength. Hate can deafen you to the voice or consciousness of the divine. Love is always merciful, and yet never a doormat. It's a fire hose of strength. It's an oracle of new perspective. Real love is a wild force that changes any landscape on any day. Where do you need to give your love? Who do you need to love, and in what way? Or how can you love yourself more right now? Ms. Keeves captures the determination, resilience, and sacrifice it takes to love. But where is love born? Is it in our DNA? A chemical response akin to eating a box of chocolates? Is it a learned behavior passed down from generation to generation, or an ability we acquire because someone first loves us? Do we simply will to love? Love is complex enough to encompass all these things and more. And on Mother's Day, a mother's love may be the first love that comes to mind. But for people of faith, we know God, and God alone is the source of our love. Jesus is clear. Life is about love, and God is the source. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. The God who gave us life is the source of love. God's divine love flows through Christ to us when we abide in Christ's love. Could Jesus be more clear? Jesus' counsel occurs in the Book of Glory, what scholars call this part of the Gospel of John, chapters 13 to 17. In the Book of Glory, we share in Jesus' final meal with his disciples, all his disciples, including Peter, who would deny him, Judas, who would betray him, and all the others who would fall asleep in Jesus' hour of need. Before dinner, we watch as Jesus washes the feet of all his disciples, a humble, tangible act of love. When he is finished, Jesus tells of Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial and gives his disciples a new commandment, to love each other. The Book of Glory ends with Jesus' farewell discourse and his prayer for his disciples. Here, Jesus explains to his disciples how the events around his arrest and death will occur. While they don't fully understand at first, Jesus hopes that when these tragic events unfold, the disciples will see them through the eyes of faith and love, not despair or disillusionment. Jesus' prayer is for their understanding and unity, that they may abide with him in God's love. Jesus does all of this that we might love. As followers of Christ, we have been offered in Christ an example of perfect love. Christ's willingness to lay down his life for his friends. We've seen this love demonstrated throughout Christ's life in acts of hospitality and compassion, culminating in his washing the feet of his disciples. This is the humble, tangible love Christ demands of us. No excuses. If we love this way, sacrificially, after the manner of Christ, we will know the joy of Christ, and our joy will be complete. So there's the rub. As followers of Christ, it's our duty, not our choice. We don't choose Christ. Christ chooses us. As followers of Christ, it's our duty to love one another as Christ loves us. But how can love be commanded? We love or we don't. Beloved, I'm not sure I have an answer. Like the Apostle Paul, this is the tension in which I live. When I want to do good, when I want to love as Christ loves, evil lies close at hand. And so do my excuses. I'm not Jesus. How can I be expected to love others as he does? I'm far from perfect. How can my love be perfect? What about people who don't deserve my love? People who harm others? People who say hurtful things about me or about people I love? People consumed by hate. How can Christ expect me to love these people? I don't know. It's taken me a lifetime to get this far, and God knows I have more work to do. But neither my shortcomings nor yours lessen Christ's demand. As followers of Christ, if we want to abide in him, if we want our joy to be complete, we will learn to love everyone as Christ loves, sacrificially. Tanya Van Brie wrote on Facebook that Ellie created this video to help spread as much information about autism as possible to the classmates of Elm Grove Elementary School, who will be surrounding Willem, her brother, for the next 4 years. Sometimes new kids or loud places scare him because his ears and eyes are extra sensitive, she explains. Ellie, in fifth grade, who will be attending the same school until next year, provides 4 tips for how to be prepared for meeting Willem. Overall, he's a kid like you and me, she concludes. And I hope you love him as much as I do. In Massachusetts, a Somerset police officer responding to a shoplifting incident decided that the punishment didn't fit the crime, so he bought groceries for the suspects instead. It was 5 days before Christmas when Officer Matt Lima responded to a report of shoplifting. Upon his arrival, Officer Lima learned that 2 women with 2 children had not scanned all of their groceries at the self-checkout kiosk before exiting the store with numerous items not scanned. Lima took the 2 suspects aside and learned they had fallen upon hard times and attempted to take additional groceries so they could provide a Christmas dinner for their 2 young children. Officer Lima served the 2 women notice not to trespass forms and refused to file criminal charges. Officer Lima then purchased gift cards in the amount of $250 with his own money so the women would be able to purchase groceries for their Christmas dinner at another Stop and Shop location. The art of letter writing has been all but forgotten in this current age of instant communication. Between tweets, IMs, Instagram, Zoom, and the granddaddy of them all, email, the demands of our fast-paced world have rendered the quaint, antiquated, and frankly slow form of missives, dismissively known as snail mail, all but obsolete. But thanks to the concerted efforts of New Yorker staff writer Rachel Syme, the pendulum may have begun to swing back in the opposite direction. With much of the world in lockdown, thanks to COVID-19, many have been forced to pivot in the way we conduct our daily affairs. To combat the disconnect and loneliness many of us are feeling now, Syme got the idea to resurrect the time-honored tradition of pen pals. Her subsequent Penpalooza initiative is gaining some real traction. It already has more than 7,000 participants, and the list is growing. These are but a few of the stories I found on the Good News Network, in addition to Ms. Keeve's reflections on love. I share them with you because they remind me of the many ways we have tried to show the love of Christ this past year. Sharing meals, sending cards, making calls, doing whatever we could, despite COVID, to stay connected and care for each other. Beloved, we aren't perfect. But when we love as Christ loves, we discover the truth of his words. Love. Love as I have loved you. Love so much you would sacrifice anything, even your life, for others. And your joy will be complete. Thanks be to God.